What's up? This is Kinsley, and you're listening to the Curls and Courage podcast. What's up, you guys, and welcome back to the Curls and Courage podcast. I'm your host, Kinsley Meeks, mental health advocate, coach, and athlete, aiming to inspire you to reach your highest physical and mental potential. First off, let me just say thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to listen to my show. Today, we're diving into the dark, hilarious, and unfiltered world of bodybuilding and bikini prep. From coaches confessing their love mid-diet to literal artery ruptures and even a dude posing high on coke. Yeah, you heard me. This is going to be one of the most unhinged and honest episodes yet. A lot of people may think it is, but listen, competing is not just sparkly bikinis, six packs, and Instagram highlight reels. It's a lot more than that. It's skipping social events, crying over rice cakes, feeling like a zombie, and wondering why you choose to place this suffering on yourself every single day on purpose. Definitely worth it, in my opinion, though. I've been competing for years, and it honestly has taught me so much just about myself, about life, and just building true emotional resilience, which is, of course, a big key point of my podcast. You guys know I'm a huge advocate of the sport, but we gotta keep it real, and many great things, most great things, actually require great sacrifice. Today, I'm sharing my experience and current situation as a competitive bikini athlete. Later, I'm going to be responding to some pretty insane Reddit and online bodybuilding confessions. These have me crying, cringing, and questioning humanity, not literally, but you guys seriously want to listen into the very end of this episode. I hope you love this one just as much as I loved losing my mind over these stories. Starting off with more of like a backstory on bikini bodybuilding and of course making it more personal about me and what I'm currently going through. So at the moment, I am about 3 weeks out from USA's in Vegas. I haven't really announced that I'm doing this show because honestly, I've been very just up in the air about it. I wasn't sure if my body was going to be ready in time. Honestly, I'm still not sure, but I have been in a dieting phase for a pretty long time, and we are pushing pretty hard when it comes to the training, the cardio, the diet, of course, everything like that. So it really depends on how my body responds over these next couple of weeks and also just how I'm feeling mentally, physically, emotionally. I'm someone who knows the stage will always be there. So if I'm not ready, I'm not going to present on stage and not be at my best. But that is the show that I currently have my eye out on. So I started competing in summer of 2021, and I've been competing pretty consistently each year since then. As far as my goals and why I choose to compete, this has definitely changed over the years, but I would say now I compete because I love to challenge myself both mentally and physically. I'm super passionate about training. It's something that I love to do. You have to be kind of weird to like bodybuilding, but I love killing myself in the gym. I love having a show date in mind and feel that specific date kind of gives me more motivation, more drive, and more focus. For me, it's not just about the physique. It's more about the process, making sacrifices, and seeing what my body and my mind are capable of, building resilience and doing something that I would say most people just can't do. Ultimately, my goal is to become a pro bodybuilder, but I always ask myself the question, is this something that adds to my life or is this something that takes away? And that question can be hard to answer sometimes, which we're going to go into today because again, bodybuilding, it does come with a lot of sacrifices, not just sacrifices personally, but also sacrifices that you make that can affect the people around you, which again, we'll kind of talk about. And I kind of follow up on the sport. I follow up on the trends. And for any of you who don't know about bodybuilding, bikini, the division that I compete in, was the like smallest division when it comes to muscularity. Just recently, they put out a bikini fit model division, which is a little bit smaller, a little bit softer look. But my division is definitely bikini. However, a lot of the girls right now who are winning are pretty big, a lot more muscular than me, which is awesome. If you want to get your body like that, I think it's incredible. Anyone who can maintain that amount of muscle mass and present themselves that way, that's crazy. But for me personally, it's not a look that I strive to achieve. I like having a little bit more of a feminine look, still very muscular, but a little bit more on that feminine side. I'm not just exactly sure if that's what the judges are looking for in the bikini category at that point. So we'll kind of see how these next couple weeks go. Again, see how I place if I do decide to compete and kind of keep my eyes open for what I want to do in the future. But bodybuilding is a lifestyle to me. Again, it's something I'm super passionate about and it's something that I'm always going to do whether I'm on stage or whether I'm not. So I want to segue into what a competition prep kind of looks like, what I'm doing right now to prepare, and just general insight behind being a national level bikini competitor. First, let's just talk about my training. And to me, this is the most fun part. Like I said, I'm an animal in the gym. I would be in there for like 7 hours a day, if not more, if I could. But girls got to work too. So currently right now, I'm training, street training 5 days a week. Shoulders and arms on the first day. Second day, I do legs, more of a glute and hamstring focus. The third day, I train my back. Fourth day, I rest. Fifth day, I go back and train shoulders and arms again. The sixth day, which is a Saturday, I go and hit a heavy leg day again, more focused on glutes and hamstrings. And then Sunday, I rest. When it comes to cardio, I'm doing cardio 7 days a week right now. As far as the time, it really does change on a week-to-week basis. Right now, I'm doing about 35 minutes of really high, intense cardio. I'll either box, sometimes I'll run, sometimes I'll do like sprint intervals, sometimes I'll do just the elliptical or the Stairmaster, but I really focus on getting my heart rate up and making sure that 35 minutes is as hard and productive as possible. On top of that, I have a current step goal of about 12,000 steps a day. Normally, I'm way over that because I'm super active. I'm moving around a lot. I'm training clients. Super ADHD, so I really can't sit still for a long period of time. So in between my work day, as I'm recording podcasts, as I'm doing content, as I'm talking to clients, I'll try to move as much as I can, get out of my desk, and then sit back down to kind of focus in on my work. When we go back to training, the intensity on that is it's high. I'm taking sets to failure. I'm taxing out my body. I'm pushing as hard as I can pretty much every single day, but making sure that I keep an eye on obviously recovery and rest as well. Next thing is my nutrition structure. So what I do is have separate days of the week that I kind of focus on different macro splits. My protein always stays pretty high. What really changes is my fats and my carbohydrates. I actually use a similar protocol when I'm training clients, whether it's for preparation for a show or just lifestyle clients in general. So I do personally one kind of moderate carb day, one kind of moderate fat day, and high protein. On the days that I don't train, I pretty much do no carbs. Only carbs are going to be coming from like vegetables, which is going to be very low. And then I'll actually increase my fats just a little bit. And then on my high days, I actually have really high carbohydrates, just a very moderate amount of protein and very low amount of fats. And what that does is basically make sure that we can always trigger a response from the body. A lot of times your body's going to want to plateau when you are in a caloric deficit for such an extreme period of time. So to kind of play around a little bit with the macronutrients can be a good way to ensure that your body is always making progress and to give your body a break, obviously, from low carb to no carb diets because they are not sustainable long term. So that's again what I do. It's 4 to 6 meals a day, very small portions. Every, I would say 3 hours, 3 to 4 hours, I'm eating something. No cheat meals at all. I haven't had any throughout this entire preparation. Supplementation, I would say I take less supplements this prep than I have in the past. I'm really just leaning in on my training, my nutrition, but supplementation can really help. So there are certain things that I take daily. I take a vitamin C, I take a vitamin D3, I take a probiotic, digestive enzymes, creatine, EAAs, protein powder, and a prescribed sleep supplement at night. I'm like, that's not that many. That's actually a shitload of supplements. But it's funny because every time I'm at the airport, I do travel, not as much right now, but I do try to see my family pretty often. Obviously, I travel for shows and I do love to get out of the city when I can. So every time I'm at the airport, I have these like little baggies of white powder because it's like my glutamine or it's like my cream of rice or like my protein powder. So security thinks I'm like trying to smuggle Coke or something. But meanwhile, I'm just trying to like keep my digestion regular. You feel me? But yeah, supplements are only an add-on to good nutrition and a solid training regimen. I also practice my posing weekly and daily once I get closer and closer towards my show date. Super important that you know how to pose as a bikini competitor because it's all about creating an illusion. For example, if you're a girl on stage and say your physique is like at 90%, but you know how to pose amazing and the girl next to you, her physique is 100%, but she doesn't know how to pose, the 90% physique is going to win because you know how to highlight the good parts on your body. So it's all about poise, stage presence, and confidence, I would say. When it comes to my mindset and just mental health in relation to bodybuilding, I think that a lot of competitors don't really speak much about the actual psychology behind competing, how it affects you mentally. But again, you guys know I keep it real on Curls of Courage, and competing is way more challenging mentally than physically. You're pretty much tired as fuck, hungry as fuck, stressed as fuck, and moody as fuck 24/7. But you have to learn how to manage these feelings and still present your best every single day. It can be tough at times, though, to manage your work life and your social life. Not only this, but you are placing yourself in a position intentionally to be judged based off of only the way that you look. So no doubt this can have somewhat of a negative psychological effect on you, no matter how strong or how emotionally resilient you are. Body image struggles constantly do happen because your body is changing weekly and sometimes even on a daily basis. I will say, when it comes to that mindset component of competing, it's vital that you know how to have a resilient mindset and kind of control your emotions when you are in such a severe, such an extreme protocol, because that really is what bodybuilding is extreme sacrifice, but it's totally worth it. This is probably the first year that I've actually learned how to just, again, control my emotions better and not place my worth based on my body, the way that I look, or how I place is a good way to put it. I control my emotions and I try not to let the people around me suffer just because I am choosing to do this, right? I'm choosing to place myself under this stress, under this pressure, and being tired and exhausted for something you love really is a privilege. And when it comes to like post show too, after I'm done competing, I try to get my body back healthy as quickly as possible. I take time off when I need to, and I don't compare myself to others. I focus on presenting my best self and bringing the best that I can on that specific day, on every day, right? When I'm in a prep, I try to beat the past looks that I've had, and I try to learn something new with every prep. Next thing I want to go into is just giving you guys a little bit more insight on show day. I feel like it is super fun and super interesting for anyone who does know about bodybuilding or for anyone who doesn't, right? So show day is definitely a special day. Leading up to that, you have something called peak week. So this is basically when you're trying to peak your body to make it look as best as possible on that show day. It's manipulation of food and water to achieve your best look. This could really be a whole episode on its own of how the peaking process works. Y'all let me know if you want me to record something on that, but I'll tell you the short version of what a typical peak week looks like for me. So typically when I'm about a week out from a show, we are trying to limit the stress on my body. We're not necessarily training hard. We're starting to water load. So we'll start off with maybe a gallon and a half of water and then increase by about 25 to maybe 50 ounces every single day, working our way up to about 300 ounces of water on the last day. We're also really playing around with the food. So I start off the first, I would say, 7 all the way up to maybe 4 days out from a show, 3 maybe, we are scaling back on the carbohydrates, really placing my body in a depletion phase. So not eating many carbs, not eating much food at all, just kind of leaning heavy on the protein and moderate fats. And then leading up to a show, we start what's called carbing up. So that's so the body has a response to where the muscle cells look super full, and all of that glycogen, that sugar from the carbohydrates, makes the muscles appear more bubbly and more full and more poppy. So that's what I do. I'm not doing anything that's going to tax out my body at that point. You've already put in the work. It's just time to get ready and get on stage. When it comes to actual show day, this is the fun part. There is so much that goes into it. The tanning, the hair, the makeup, the blinged out bikini. What's fun for me is honestly just having a support system at your show and traveling. I'm someone who keeps my circle super small, but having my family there with me on show day really makes it fun. Even if it's just one person, sometimes it's just my mom, I feel like you need a support system to go through something like this because it's super hard. And also you want someone to celebrate your wins with. Maybe it's a friend, a family member, a coach, a mentor. Doesn't really matter. It's just good to have someone there with you. And I love show day. Like I said, I don't really get stressed at all because at that point the work is finished. Being on stage is fun, and the post-show celebration is always a super memorable experience as well. I always joke with my brother, the day that I get my pro card, we're going out and we're getting pizza. I haven't had pizza in, like, no exaggeration, probably, let's see, I'm 23 now, so probably like 8 to 10 years, I haven't had a slice of pizza. Not the pizza is like something I really want to have, but it's just like, ooh, that pizza is going to be so sweet once we get that pro car. So just having fun things like that, I guess, to look forward to, and making memories is kind of what life is all about. So competing definitely helps with that. Two more things I want to discuss, and then we'll get into these crazy Reddit stories. I want to talk about the cost of competing, because not a lot of bodybuilders open up about this. But let me tell you, the cost of competing is probably the most difficult thing for me. And I'm not even talking about financially. I work hard, I make money, but we are talking about emotional, social, and relationship sacrifices that you will have to make if you want to be the best. Also, you may go broke. I'm just kidding, though. But it really is an expensive sport. Let's just talk about the cost first. Show entry fees, $150 to, I would say, $300 just to enter the show, depending on what show it is and how high level it is. Then you got to pay for travel. I'm talking hotel rooms, flights, Ubers. Girl, you also got to pay for that show day glam, because you can't be up on stage looking ratchet. You got to look amazing. So the makeup, the hair, the tan, the suit. Just the suit alone can be like $600 to $800. If you want to get a good makeup artist, let me tell you, you're probably going to pay at least $250 to $300 just for 30 minutes. So, you know, it is going to be an expense. But here's the thing. When it comes to other costs that are much more important than anything materialistic, there are so many sacrifices that I've had to make to be a competitive athlete. Let's talk about just social sacrifices for a minute. You will miss out on social events if you're a bikini competitor at times. There's no late nights out. There's no parties, no weddings, or spontaneous events when you're deep in a prep, because they interfere with your training, with your meal timing, or your recovery. I would say sometimes bodybuilding can also kind of isolate you from friends and from loved ones. No lie, that is why I'm a firm believer in creating a community and a strong support system. This is a must in any major goal that you have in life, or just to have a happy and fulfilling life in general. You got to love your homies, and you got to nurture your relationships. And your relationships may suffer at times with this sport because of less communication or less quality time with friends. Because as I mentioned, girl, you're just exhausted. You're feeling like a character from The Walking Dead. Prep is strict scheduling, and it takes extreme mental focus, okay? On the relationship side of things, just keeping it real, the last few weeks of a hard dieting phase, you got low energy. You have mood swings. And as I mentioned earlier, the stress in which you are putting on yourself is no joke. This being said, your partner may be wanting to get some, you feel me? But he ain't getting some about 3 weeks out. You are sometimes just emotionally unavailable and not feeling super intimate, okay? Lastly, another cost struggle that I see with many competitors is the conflict with loved ones because of how rigid the lifestyle is. When people around you don't support or understand your goals, in this case, the strictness of prep, it does cause tension. I mean, this has happened to me in the past for sure in my relationships. Thank God, I'm super grateful. My family has always been very supportive of anything and everything that I do. But I have had friends and acquaintances in the past that just didn't support me in bodybuilding and that still don't. People asking me, can't you just have one bite? Can't you just have one drink? Like, man, can't you just shut up and mind your own business? Like, you feel me? There's a quote that reads, success is no accident. It's hard work. It's perseverance. It's learning, studying, and sacrifice, and most of all, love of what you are doing. I say all of this to say because some of the sacrifices you make are costly, and it may sound negative, but really it's not. Competing is a challenge. Yes, it's a cost. Yes, it's a sacrifice. But you determine whether or not the reward is worth it. And to be a successful bodybuilder, in my opinion, you really have to love it. That's the only way. And then last little point for today, Curls and Courage, you guys know I got to speak some courage your way. Some kind of points and major takeaways that I've learned from competing over the years, from my competition preps and from seeing how, I guess, I've adapted and developed in the sport over the course of the time that I've been competing. Firstly, I would say I have learned that my worth is not based on a judge's opinion or on how that I look. Second, don't make others around you suffer for a decision you placed on yourself. Pressure is a privilege, and you just have to learn to enjoy the process and fully embrace it, whether it's a hard day, whether it's a good day, or whether it's just something in between. And then lastly, never tie your identity to something that can be taken away. This is a big one for me. You can lose this crazy physique that you've built easily in the matter of just a few weeks. Maybe you can never step on stage again. Maybe you just can't compete anymore for some reason, but you can't lose your character. You can't lose your ability to persevere through adversity. You can't lose your discipline. You can't lose how you respond to failure. Those are yours alone. You also can't lose the love that you give. No one can take away your faith. You can't lose what you've learned, okay? And you can't lose the insight you gained over time. It's internal and it can't be stolen. No one can take away your knowledge. Okay, I'm getting too deep though. I'm getting too deep in thought. Let me just move on. But this is a topic that I'm super passionate about. Again, I'm so grateful for bodybuilding and it really has taught me so many important lessons that are so applicable to my life today. But let's go ahead and get into the fun part of today's show. I'm so excited. You guys are going to absolutely love this segment for real. I want to read a few bodybuilding prep stories that I found online and share my honest response to these literally insane bodybuilding confessions. I call this segment Curls and Confessions. Specifically today, we're talking confessions from the trenches of prep. Let's get into the first story that I found online. Okay. So this person says, I had a few rough preps, but my first prep might take the cake. I did a bikini show in 2014. My first show had no idea what I was doing. Hired a coach and he had no clue what he was doing. I was leaner training and doing my own diet on my own than I was with him. At about 6 weeks out, I was nowhere lean enough, and he decided to put me on a keto diet, 45 minutes of fasted cardio, and then 45 minutes after training. Damn. I was exhausted, hated life, and starving all the time. I could barely do my job, and then he upped it to 45 HIIT intervals for cardio. I thought I was going to die. Still came into the show way too soft, binge ate after the show. Then he confessed he was in love with me. Whoa, okay. We stopped working together. I did really well on my own and then hired a different coach and competed in figure with better success. It's not the worst story you will hear, but damn, I can still remember how hungry I was all the time, eating so much, in all caps, 80-20 beef. Like every meal, that or eggs. Still have no idea why he didn't say to do salmon or avocado or grass-fed butter instead of loading me up with beef and eggs. It was miserable. I can't believe I kept competing after that, but I'm glad I did. No two preps are the same, and in this case, that is a very good thing. Okay. This is so funny to me. It's just funny if you relate to bodybuilding at all. Okay, so the first part of this story, let me just break that down because I did not see the twist at the end where your coach fell in love with you. I really did not see that coming. All right, let me just address the problems with a full keto diet. Okay, a keto diet is a very low carb and very high fat diet in which you are using fats for a fuel source versus carbohydrates. This can trigger rapid fat loss in the early stages for sure, but this is only for a very short period of time and it has many potential negative side effects. All right, so side effects of a keto diet. In short, just as this girl said, for most people, you stick with the ketogenic diet long term and you will ultimately just feel like shit. I can tell you from personal experience. Thanks to digestive issues, nutrient deficiencies, irritability, and saying no to literally anything fun because you're so exhausted, both mentally and physically, that you just can't possibly muster up the energy to be a human. And I'm only generally speaking. I'm being a little bit comical. Yes, it is okay to be on a keto diet short term. And for some people, maybe it's a protocol that would work. I will say when you're in an extreme competition prep, protocol, it is necessary on times to be no carb if you want to lose the body fat. You got to do it. As long as you're not trying to maintain this diet year round, you're going to be okay. As for the second part of this story, the fact that the girl says her coach was in love with her, again, that just kind of took me by surprise. The relationship between a coach and a client is key to success for sure. It goes far beyond training plans and check-ins. A good relationship with your coach is built on trust, communication, respect, and accountability. That being said, I think it's good to be personal, but there are certain boundaries that a coach just should not cross. Also, babe, if the coach has you eating only eggs and ground beef, please speak up for yourself because that is not normal. There are so many more effective ways to kind of go about things and still drop body fat in a short time period. Let's move into the second story. This person says, first time I prepped for a show, I had to push back the show I competed in because I had a micro rupture of the artery that runs up your spine to your brain from hack squatting. Wow. Wasn't fun when the doctor said I was lucky that I didn't die. Couldn't train for 4 weeks and ended up doing a show later and got second out of four. Okay. First off, the hack squat can be pretty intense, no lie. This person must have been really pushing on that hack squat, and it's a blessing that he or she is okay. Seriously, that's crazy. I guess I'll go into the importance of setbacks and traumatic events. Oftentimes when we go through things in life, we kind of think to ourselves, why is this happening to me? But I believe that when our faith is tested and when we face extreme challenges and trials and tribulations, it's just building our emotional resilience. It's sharpening us, improving our ability to bounce back from setbacks, revealing our grit, and teaching us that we are capable of overcoming obstacles. I actually talked more on this in an episode of my podcast. I think it was episode number 35, how to use your mind as a powerful tool when things don't go as planned. A very bad week in my life. It was all about bouncing back from setbacks and more of a story time about a very bad week in my life. Not that I've been through anything like this person has been through. That's crazy as far as the actual rupture. That's really, really sad and terrifying. But, you know, everyone in life goes through setbacks and you have to know how to bounce back from that. I would say it's awesome that this person decided to still compete and just kept moving forward. That's actually super inspiring. And I'm glad again that this person is okay. Third story. This one I'm already like glancing over. It's too crazy. All right. This person says, I can be somewhat specific because this was in 1999 at Gold's Gym Venice. Tom Prince was prepping me for my first show, the Ironman. By 2 weeks out, he had me up to 10 clenbuterol a day. Oops, I freaked out and lost my mind and screamed, y'all excuse my language, fuck off, you fucking motherfucker, at the top of my lungs to my trainer who shall remain nameless. Just outside the door of the Mecca, over and over again, 14 times, because I thought he was trying to sabotage me. I got so paranoid, I drove my cycle to my massage therapist's house to hide it there. Then I went to Cheesecake Factory in Beverly Hills, where I gorged myself on about 6 entrees and blew up 30 pounds, salt and water mostly. Tom calmed me down after I said I messed up, but still wanted to do my show. Then I made my friend bump coke with me all night long while I posed nonstop to flush out all the crap that I ate. I lost about 10 pounds of muscle doing this, but still placed 4th in the open. Shredded and dry, but not as big. Needless to say, my preps were never this insane again. Okay, this is actually really unhealthy and terrifying. It just got me laughing, though. I don't even know where to start with this one. I guess let me just talk about the drug use and this person losing it with his trainer, the first part of the story. So I want to educate you guys. It's a little bit hard for me to understand. This guy says he's taking 10 clenbuterol a day. I don't know if he means like 10 tablets of clen or 10 units from a syringe, because these are very different doses. I would say 10 units from a syringe is kind of a moderate, honestly low dose to start out with. But if you're taking 10 tablets of clen, that's crazy. Clenbuterol is a bronchodilator originally developed to treat asthma in horses, not humans. It's pretty common in the bodybuilding industry because it can boost your metabolism, suppress your appetite, increase your energy, and preserve lean muscle mass. But it does come with serious potential side effects like every drug. It's a synthetic stimulant that can wreck your heart, your hormones, and your nervous system. It comes with many short-term risks such as anxiety, insomnia, muscle cramps, excessive sweating, heart palpitations, nausea, and more. Long term, it can also cause severe heart damage, thyroid dysfunction, and high blood pressure. In this case, I would say this guy is probably just feeling extremely on edge. Since it's a powerful stimulant that can act on your central nervous system, it can definitely make certain individuals feel more irritable. When you're in a deep caloric deficit, it's already really taxing on your mood, on your patience, and on your mental energy. And I feel like clenbuterol is just kind of adding fuel to the fire. As far as the binging, after this guy hid his cycle at his massage therapist's house, this is also super common in my industry. For me personally, luckily, I have never struggled with binge eating. I definitely have struggled with anorexia and body image issues and, gosh, so many things that relate to restrictive dieting in a negative way, but I have not struggled with binge eating. So it's not something that I can speak on, but I can tell you that this is something that many of my friends in the industry have struggled with, and just many competitors in general that you see online do speak openly about this struggle, which I think is great for the sport. And I get it, because it's hard not to binge when you're in a dieting phase or you just get done competing and it's post-show and you don't really have a date in mind. You can kind of lose it because you've been severely dieting and just restricting yourself like crazy for such a long period of time. It can get hard to kind of keep that discipline and control yourself. You have those cravings and you're consuming these foods that you have not put in your body in such a long period of time. So I think it's really important in this case to have a good coach, to have a solid support system, and then also to have a really good reverse dieting post-show strategy. You want someone to be there to give you support and guidance always for something like this. Regarding the last part of the story, I swear this is kind of not funny, but it just has me laughing. Regarding the Coke and the posing. So I've never done Coke before and I never will, but I can't imagine this guy was straight vibing in his posing routine, because cocaine is a substance that heightens your focus, it amplifies your confidence, and it gives you that sudden rush of euphoria. But this is only a temporary high and it has a very dangerous price tag. So I really pray that this guy is safe. I pray that this guy never follows these extreme protocols again. Super, super unhealthy decisions, both mentally and physically. One of the craziest I think that I've ever heard, to be honest. All right. Story number four. I'm going to share like two more with you guys. This girl says, my worst prep was zero carbs at first, okay? Then we decided to put a few rice cakes in and take all of my fats out. 800 calories and doing 2 hours of cardio. My blood pressure was dropping every single day and I felt like I was going to pass the fuck out. All right, so first off, your coach should never start you at zero carbs. It's super important to have more of like a pre-prep phase. This is a couple months prior to a prep where you are building up your calories. You're making sure that all of your macronutrients, your protein, your fats, and your carbohydrates are in a very healthy spot. You're also in a very healthy spot hormonally and mentally and physically. That way, when you go into a competition prep, your body will respond and also your mind will respond. The prep will be never easy, but it will be an easier process. So you want to be able to have areas to pull from. So it's not smart to start off at zero carbs. Also, cutting out all fats is going to absolutely wreck your hormones, your mood, your sleep, your daily function. So I can definitely see why this person felt like she was going to pass out. That prep is extremely dangerous, extremely. 800 calories, that's like a toddler's intake. No carbs or fats. So you're just eating like straight protein at this point. And then doing 2 hours of cardio, that's going to put your body into full on survival mode. You have zero fuel from carbohydrates and no fats to support hormone or blood pressure regulation. So again, it's no surprise that your blood pressure is going to crash and you feel like you're going to pass out. Your body wasn't getting lean. It was just shutting down. Girl, like your body was begging you, please go eat food. Please let me get some rice and get off of that Stairmaster. All right, last one. This one I can already tell is going to be funny. I'm like glancing at it. Okay, so I decided to go on a date while in prep. We went out to a restaurant and of course I couldn't order anything off of the menu. The guy I was going out with could not stop talking about how amazing and lean I looked and how we were the fittest people in the restaurant. Okay, weird. He proceeded to criticize the people sitting around us at other tables, talking about how gross their bodies were. Like, why are you judging everyone? Okay, true. Why are you judging everyone? Then it gets even worse. This douche now begins to brag to me about how many fights he's been in, like this was a flex or something. He even tells me that he literally hit a woman. Wow. But that it was necessary because she spilled a drink on him. Long story short, men are crazy, and I think I'm done dating while I'm prep, and honestly, just in general. My response, let's just talk about dating while on prep for a second here. Dating on prep. Luckily, but kind of unluckily, I've never been in a relationship while on prep. Hell, I can't even tell you the last time I've been in a relationship. Miami guys, come on, where are you at? But no, for real, I touched on this a little bit earlier. Your relationships, or let me say lack of relationships, can suffer while you're on prep if you're not careful. So I think that it's great this person is dating. Prep should, again, add to your life. It should never take away. But you have to be with someone who understands, supports, and respects your lifestyle. And to be honest, this guy sounds just like a complete douchebag. Anyone who brags about getting in fights, especially placing their hands on a female, is delusional and has lost all of my respect for sure. That's super sad. And you need to get away from this guy immediately. Also, the fact that he is criticizing others' appearance, especially about their body, that is super low blow, and super unattractive as well. My advice would be find a new guy, but don't give up hope, my love. I think it's awesome, again, that you're dating while on prep. All right, that is a wrap on episode number 69 when it comes to a little bit more about my current situation with bodybuilding, a little bit more insight on what a bikini prep looks like, and all of these insane online and Reddit stories. I want to end today's show with a question, as always, from a listener. This girl says, "Hi, Kinsley. I was wondering if you could share a few of your favorite glute building exercises and why. Also, I love your podcast and the content you put out is so motivating. Thank you so much." Oh, babe, thank you. That really makes my day. Thank you so much. I appreciate you listening to my content. I always try to be as motivating and as honest and inspiring as I can. So can definitely help you out with a couple glute building exercises. Definitely an area of my body that I'm working on growing and building as well. First thing I would say would be a hip thrust. Hip thrusts are great because they work your glutes from that horizontal angle. It's an exercise that you can load up really heavy. And I feel like I don't really have the same muscular contraction in any other exercise as I do in a hip thrust. I think you can get a great squeeze that way. And it's also going to target the biggest muscle in your glute, which is your glute max. Next thing would be an RDL, or like a stiff leg deadlift. I do these every single week. I think training your glutes from a different angle, again, more of that vertical position, is awesome. It's also going to hit your glutes from more of that stretch position, which I feel like a lot of other movements do not do. So you want to make sure you're really working your muscle to its full range of motion. A big thing in my division is developing more of my glute ham tie-in, which is where my hamstring basically attaches to my glutes. So an RDL is a great exercise for that. Another one I include every week is going to be some sort of a seated hip abduction. This is where you are pushing the legs out on a machine. It trains more of your glute medius and minimus, which are two smaller muscles on the upper outer portion of your glute. Speaking aesthetically, it is awesome if you are a bikini competitor when you hit your side pose. And then also just girls, you know, we like to wear bikinis. We want to look good in our underwear, whatever it is. This seated hip abduction is amazing for kind of increasing that volume at the top of the glutes. Including a squat variation, I would say, would be number four for me. There are so many different squats you can do, but some type of wide stance squat, angling the toes outwards and focused on getting a really deep range of motion, pushing through the heels, really stimulating the glutes well, is a must. That's also working you from more of like a vertical angle, which is really nice. I would say my favorite squat variation currently, it changes so much for me, but right now I've really been loving like a pendulum squat or a hack squat. Pendulum squat with the back supported is probably my favorite. Anything back supported is good for me because I feel like my back just cannot take a lot of load at the moment. So that one can be great. And then lastly, an exercise that I've been loving lately and one that I have been including in my routine is more of a glute ham raise. This exercise is awesome for training not just the glutes, but also the hamstrings. I don't think there's a lot of other exercises that have that same feeling as far as squeezing the glutes, again, working them when they're stretched, really having to pay close attention to your technique with this exercise as well. Elevation, the gym that I train at here in Miami, has an awesome glute ham raise. If you guys are ever in the city, first off, let me know, but also check out that gym. It's absolutely awesome. Great machine, great equipment there. So those are probably my top five. Honestly, I could talk about glute training all day, but I think the biggest takeaway is incorporate a few of these different exercises. Make sure that you are training hard and heavy sets to failure for your glutes, and then make sure you're working them from multiple different angles. Thank you guys so much for listening to today's show. If you have a question that you'd like for me to mention on Curls and Courage, please just send me a direct message to @CurlsandCouragePodcast or @YoItsKinslow. That's my personal account on Instagram. That one's @YoItsKenslo, or again, just @CurlsandCourage. If you took anything from today's episode, let it be this. I know we got a little bit goofy, but I want to be serious right quick. What matters most is your character, your discipline, and your ability to show up for yourself every day, even when it's hard. So whether you're deep in prep, post-show, or just here for the stories, thank you so much for being a part of this little community with me. I appreciate your support a lot. I want to ask you guys, if you did enjoy the show, please rate and review the podcast on any major podcast platform, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, you name it. Also, if you're interested in one-on-one coaching, training, and nutrition, I am accepting clients. You can send me a DM to those Instagram accounts I spoke on earlier. Or if you just want to connect more, you have ideas for the podcast, you want to share some stories with me about your worst bodybuilding preps, I'd love to hear it. I love connecting with you guys and, again, building this community. Please follow those accounts as well, and the YouTube channel @KinsleyMeeks would mean so much to me. And then lastly, please catch the podcast every Thursday at 10 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time on WDJY 99.1 FM radio. I will leave the link in the show notes below. As always, my girls, my guys, whoever's listening, keep grinding, keep growing, and keep choosing the hard things that make you better. And remember, pressure is a privilege. I'll talk to you guys soon. Have a great rest of your week. Bye.